I'm not sure if you realize this, but our young people every other week spend their time in the service, and then the following week they take what they've learnt through the service and they talk about them the following week. And this week they are in church, and so I am trying to be as clear as I can be, and my headings hopefully will aid and not distract. And hopefully there will be lots of food for thought, and things that the young people, but us all, can work through in our own situation. So today we're looking at Psalm 19. And through the psalm, I want us to know that God can partially be seen through the world and his creation, but fully through his word. So partially through the creation, but fully through his word. And I've called the sermon, Seeing is Believing. So we're going to use the Bible to guide us, which we do anyway. But it's just a reminder that these are not just my words, but these are words from God himself, as he has spoken through the psalmist so clearly. So let's look at the world first of all. So the first thing to ask is, what are the heavens telling us about God? Well, if we believe verse 1, God is communicating to us. Verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. So if we believe verse 1, God is speaking to us. God is communicating to us. Verse 1, the heavens declare. The point is simple. You can know God partially as you look at the universe, as your world. God is communicating to us. People often speak about being one with nature. Maybe you've heard that as a description, that one feels close and one with nature. Some people say they feel an extra closeness to God as they look at the creation, as they look around them. They say that there's a special connection, a special place for them to see God communicating to them. It may be as one would look at the stars at night and realize, actually, it's some Boeing plane that we're looking at and not the stars. I've never seen a flying star in my life. I was convinced I saw one the other day, but then I was told it was a satellite. But, you know, some of us maybe go on the P&O ferry from Dover to Calais, and you look around, and on those clear days, you see those white cliffs of Dover. As you go on that P&O ferry, you think, wow, I am with my maker. I feel him so close to me. And at these times, people will say, as they look at creation around them, that they know God, or they can feel God. And in a previous life, I don't believe in that, but before I started at Hook, I worked in schools with Insight we saw earlier in secondary schools. And one of the big things that a religious studies teacher will teach, and in fact many world religions will teach, is that you can know God as you look around at creation. They would say that you can know something of God small g, or God's plural, as you look, as you feel, as you touch, as you see creation around you. And that's partly true, because there is truth in all religions. There is truth in all religions, but that's not the full answer. That's not the full story. There's a yes, but also a no. The heavens do declare something of God, but when you look up to the sky, you won't know God fully. See, David in this psalm is saying we can know a little about God, as we look around at the world, at his creation. See, David is using his eyes. David is looking out to see the wonder of God's creation. He can see something of God quite magical as he looked around his environment. And that's very clear, isn't it? You look down with me in verse 1. Well, is it the heavens are declaring, the skies proclaim. In verse 2, they pour forth speech. Wherever you look in creation, God is speaking. Or as someone has said, his fingerprints are on all creation, or on the whole universe for that matter. Verse 4, look down at verse 4. The sun, the clouds, the stars, all of them are communicating something of God. But there is a problem. Verse 3. Can you see what it is? They have no speech. They're not using words. There's no sound that can be heard from them. So creation can only go so far in knowing God. It's a little bit like this painting. Nice. I could say at this point I did that. I didn't. But we can know something of the artist from that painting. By the way, it's St. David's Day today. Did you know that? 1st of March, my wedding anniversary as well. And that's Abergavenny, where I'm from. But you don't know anything about the artist from that painting. You don't know anything about her. Well, her name is Denise. Denise de Batisa. That's a good Welsh name, isn't it? She's from Llanelli in West Wales. And her bio says that she loved art at school. She went to Llanelli Girls Grammar School. And then she studied art in greater detail as she took up on, in 1984, an Open University degree. You wouldn't get that from that painting, would you? You wouldn't get that information about Denise from that. And it's the same when we look at God's creation. We get a glimpse of God and something of God, but we don't get the whole story, the whole picture of God through his creation. So creation does speak to us, but it's without words. It's not totally clear. You see, you can't stop creation speaking to you. You can't stop it from communicating to you. It's not meaningless by any means, but it's not speaking to us in a way that we understand with words about the Creator. So creation, don't get me wrong, does speak to us loads. Verse 2, creation speaks. It pours forth speech, it says. It is shouting at us in some ways. You know, tonight, some of you I know as I look out, some of you are pretty powerful. Some of you have got some high-powered jobs in business. But little experiment for you tonight. Try to stop God speaking. Try to stop the sun from setting. We can't. None of us have that power, but God alone. God, you see, is constantly speaking to us, day after day, night after night, moment after moment. He speaks to everyone, everywhere around the world. Creation is speaking of God, the Creator. Look at verse 4. Yet their voice goes out to all the earth. Their words go out to the ends of the world. See, creation is not whispering to us. It's shouting out. Creation is like a megaphone shouting out, I'm God. I'm the Creator. It's amazing. And it does point, creation does point to one who is much bigger, much greater than any man that's ever lived. But creation and the intricacies of creation. So in creation, it's as the psalm says, we see the glory of God. And we get that from the opening sentence. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hand. So we see the glory of God, as it says there in that first verse. And this word glory is linked to God's power, his beauty. And this is why King David is spelling out the power of God displayed in creation. And the second part of verse 1, the sky proclaims the work of his hand. So creation testifies again and again to the power of God, his work, because after all, he put it there. He is glorious. When God spoke in creation, in Genesis, it happened by his words, by his word. The sun rises, as it says, and falls because God has ordered it that way. That's why verse 4 and verse 6 speaks of the sun, and when it speaks of the sun, it kind of puts in a kind of a throwaway kind of sentence of like pitching a tent. The sun, even the sun, does what it's told. It goes on a circuit, and it's all under the power and control of God. Creation speaks abundantly, universally, about the glory, power, and authority of God. So, my opening point, if you haven't got it, is that creation can only speak partially about God. We can know God partially, and that is enough in some ways as a sermon, just those first six verses. So what does this mean for us here and on our front line? Well, every single person that has eyes or that can hear, even hear creation, has no excuse. We found that out when we looked at chapter 1 of Romans 1:18. None of us have excuse before him. You see, when on judgment day, and there will be a judgment day, no man or woman will ever be able to say, I did not know you existed. Creation tells us enough in all its intricacies that there is a God. And God has been declaring his glory to all of us in all of the human history. And so there is no excuse that there is a God, and he has spoken enough about who he is through his creation, of knowing that he is there. So the question now is, why is the Bible so important? We can see his glory in creation, but we cannot fully know God without his word. The word, verses 8 to 11. This morning, this idea of his word and God speaking in that book that you are holding or on that app that you're looking at on your phone, that the living God is speaking most clearly through it. David, the psalmist, speaks very clearly from verses 7 onwards about God and his word. David speaks in images in the first part of the psalm, but then he moves to words and the clarity of God through his word in the second part of the psalm. Can you look down and the precepts, the commands, the decrees? God has spoken. God has spoken clearly and precisely. And where does God reveal himself? Verse 7, our hearts. And what does that mean? It refreshes our souls, makes us wise. Verse 8, giving you a joy in your heart. You know, we can travel all over the world just to see a beautiful sunset. And it's nice, and you know, you get your camera out and you capture that moment. But where does it go then? On the computer, and it's a distant memory. But the Bible changes us. God's word changes us from within. Not for a couple of moments or a couple of minutes or a piece on our hard drive, but for eternity. Notice how God is addressed in verses 1 to 6. Can you see? God is only mentioned once. Verse 1. Now, the name of God here in the early part of the psalm is the name for God that is a masked God, the majestic God, one who is in some ways distant and untouchable. But then moving on from verse 7, you can see how it changes quite dramatically. We get there in capital letters the word Lord. And that word Lord is translated the name Yahweh, who is described as the covenantal God who is personable and intimate. This is the God that we know, the one that we read about, the one that we find out about, the one we pray to as we address him. He is personable and he is intimate. If you look at God in creation, it's the distant God. That's clear as we look at that description of God in verse 1 and so and verse through to verse 6. But verse 7 on, we get this description of a personable, knowing God. And that's what we need to remind ourselves this morning. The God that we look at through creation, but more so, the God that we see in his word is the God who wants to refresh our souls. We can go to a far-off place to refresh our souls, but it's only temporary. We can put a cup of coffee and drink coffee, and that might refresh us for a moment. But the Bible speaks clearly about a God who knows us, who longs for us to know him, and for us to know him, we open up his word. The psalmist speaks of his word with, again, picture language to help us all, as he speaks of it as sweeter than honey and more precious than gold. And when I was writing this, I said to myself, and I speak to myself quite a lot. Middle name's Billy, no mates. And, I'm in my cabin on my own. I have Mr. Mac opposite me. But I suppose I could get a mirror, couldn't I, to look at myself and talk like that. But anyway, I was talking to myself, and as I punched the keyboard, I wrote these words. Capital letters, do I believe this? Do I believe that God's word will refresh me more than anyone or anything? I was rebuked the other day for looking at my phone more than I looked at someone else, who I married 17 years ago today. On my phone, there is a little app that gives you a survey of your mobile phone habits for the week. Have you got one of those? Have you seen those? Oh, it is shocking what it reveals. You know, you're on the BBC iPlayer for 5 hours this week, and then, you know, all other sorts of apps. So these are the apps that I was on this week, and this is just a taster into my world. I looked at the BBC News app quite regularly. I looked at the Guardian app quite regularly. I went on Twitter. I went on Facebook. I went on Instagram. Oh, yes. Let me see. Oh, I went on my Bible app as well. Just a little. So the question and the challenge for me, if I'm spending more time on my phone looking at the BBC and the Guardian and Twitter and whatever else, more than I'm looking at the Bible, which one is going to refresh my soul? Which one do I believe? That's my world. Maybe think about your world, about your viewing habits, your ways that you interact with screens. So the Bible, and David promises here that the Word of God is more precious than gold, more precious and more sweeter than honey. And so, again, the challenge for me, is that my expectation? Is that my expectation that I will long for it in the same way that I might long for my nutty cornflakes in the morning as I'm hungry and I'm told there's honey on them? There's a challenge. And then, is there that expectation? Is there that excitement? Now, some of us have been in love over the years. Some of you were in love. Maybe you're not at the moment, but there was that time, wasn't there? 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, when there was that moment where you stood outside a red telephone box, waiting for that phone to ring, hoping, longing for it to be that other half, and that expectancy that your loved one was about to speak to you. Or maybe it was that email later on as you fell in love in the noughties or the 2010s, etc. But there was that expectancy as that phone rang, as that inbox filled with the love of your life. What are they going to say? Where are they going to be? Etc., etc. Is that my expectancy as I open up the ultimate love letter, as I open up God's word? Is it more precious to me than gold? Is it more precious to me than honey? So God speaks to us through creation. God ultimately speaks to us through his word. Look at David's response, verses 12 to 14. Verses 12 to 14. See, when God's revealed himself in creation, when God has spoken through his word, there is only one response that David can do, can say, can sing, whatever he was doing at this point. And it's an honest one. He knows how much he has let God down as he's gone on his iPhone, as he's looked at the BBC iPlayer more than his word, as he's kind of spent more time finding refreshment from others and not from God himself. Look down with me again at these words. Verses 12 to the end. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me, then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgressions. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And so the response of David is a real, honest, vulnerable one. He knows his failings. He knows his weakness. He knows how he has let God down in his thoughts, in his words, in his actions. As Andy prayed earlier, not just the things you say, but sometimes the things you don't say. And he gives God permission to give him, in modern terms, in business speak, a 360-degree appraisal, which is very painful. And God knows him better than any appraisal. See, looking at ourselves, there are things about ourselves that we know are irritating, are things that are wrong, but we don't see ourselves in a 360 way either. God knows our blind spots. As we read God's word, as we spend more time in his word, it will expose us more and more. It will show us how weak we are. It will show us our weaknesses. It will show us how often we let the Lord and others down. But that's not the end of the story, is it? That's not the end of the psalm. It doesn't leave us there. It takes us to the great promise that I and you need to hear this morning. This is it. Lord, my rock and my redeemer. See, when you know God is your rock, when you know he is your redeemer, that changes everything. That moves us from duty. That moves us just from wonder. That moves us to the relational God. The relational God who knows you better than you know yourself, who knows more of your faults and your failings than you know yourself, yet he is the one who calls us, who says, come. Let's pray. Father God, our hope is that as you look at us, that we would be pleasing in your sight. But so often we're not. But thank you, Father, that as we look to Jesus, who is our rock and who is our redeemer, that we can be pleasing in your sight. That as we are in Jesus, as we are united in hidden and covered with Jesus, that we can pray this psalm, that you are pleased with us, and that we can call you our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. We thank you for this promise and this truth this morning, Jesus. Amen.